isn't he? And it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? And it's good to understand what God is doing. God is moving. God is doing things. God is a living God. And I feel this morning that I've got a word that I've got to bring, but I feel that the word of the Lord this morning to us is that we've got to understand who he is. Stephen started by saying, you know, we come into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter his courts with praise. And that's what we've done this morning. We've come into his presence and we've followed the right procedure, if you like. We've done things as God would have us do. We live in a society where pretty much anyone's opinion is valid. But we worship the sovereign God. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have to understand that he has values, that he has absolutes, that we cannot just do what we feel and wander into his presence and in and out as and when and just think that we can take it all for granted. God does not work like that, I'm afraid. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. But he is a God of standards. He is a holy God. And if we want to come into his presence, we have to be a holy people. And thank God for Jesus, because he has made us holy. He has given us that ability. But Julie started with a testimony that basically underlines the fact that God is a God of his word. We talk about men being men of their word. We say, you know, that, oh, I know so, and he's a man of his word. And we hold that with honour and esteem, don't we? Because we know that if we say to that person, oh, such and such, and he says, oh, I'll do that, we know he'll do it. Well, God is a God of his word. And when we follow his principles, we can be absolutely certain that he would do what he has said in his scripture. He is a God of his word. And that, I feel, is the word to us this morning, that we have to understand and respect who he is, but we also need to understand that he is a God of his word. Scripture says, the example that Julie gave in her testimony this morning is that in James it says, if anyone is sick, let him come to the elders. So the onus is on the person that's sick, come to the elders. And the elders, then their bit is to pray for them, anoint them with oil, and he shall be saved and his sins will be forgiven. That's what it says. And that's what was done, and God fulfilled his bit. He's a God of his word, okay? We need to understand that, and we need to trust him, and we need to know that when we pray in faith, and we pray in faith in line with scripture. So the word of the Lord I feel this morning is that we need to remember that God is a God of his word, okay? Does that make sense? We're pretty much halfway through the year. Can you believe it? Yes, there's a few groans there. But we are pretty much halfway through the year. So I thought it might be just useful to have a little bit of a recap and just understand, because I said it's important that we understand what God is doing and the things that he is doing for us and some of the amazing miracles and answers to prayer that we've heard. You know, the one this morning, you know, we prayed that those things on Louise's throat, when the guy looked, the specialist looked, that he wouldn't be able to see them, that they'd be gone. What was the testimony? Couldn't see them, they're gone. He's a God of his word. But we started the year with seek first his kingdom. And that's been a bit of a theme, hasn't it, so far for this first half of the year. We need to seek first his kingdom. We need to know how to put his principles first, how to live by that. So we've spoken a lot about the benefits about being in his kingdom and what that kingdom is. We spoke a bit about his culture. We've spoken about the values, the privileges that it is to be a child of the king, to be within his kingdom, haven't we? We've been reminded that it's our responsibility for us to walk our own walk. Not the person next to you, not the elders. It is your responsibility to walk your walk. It is my responsibility to walk my walk before the Lord. But we've also been reminded he's given us the tools and his Holy Spirit to enable us to walk that walk and to be able to do it humbly before God. Yeah? We need to be a part of the church. We're reminded that, you know, that we are the church. Hebrews tells us individual family of God. We've been reminded that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And I've written it here, actually. He is a God of his word. He keeps his promises. He has not forgotten you. We've been reminded of that, haven't we? As Christians, we are the church. We represent the church and Jesus to those around us, those people that don't know Jesus. When we're out there, we're their only reminder, really, of what church is about. And if we're staid and born and we've got a very long face, that's going to be their opinion of church. You know? It's just a set of religious rules that's pretty boring. It's not for me, thank you. Well, we need to be ambassadors of Jesus and show that actually the kingdom that we're part of is not like that. And we need to be ready. We're a new creation. The old is gone. We're reminded that there is more. There is more. God has done so much for us, but there's more. Isn't that amazing? And we need to expect. We need to raise our expectations. We need to be ready for more. And we're ambassadors of his kingdom. In what light do we represent it? Do we allow the living water, that resurrection life that we were reminded of, to flow through us? That's quite an exciting, quite an interesting first 6 months, if you like, isn't it? When you start putting all that together and just understanding what God is doing, God has got us in his hands. God is looking after us. God is directing us. But I've put here that the church is there for its members. You know, we are individuals that have our own walk, and the church is there for its members. It's also there for the non-members. Not many organisations exist for non-members as well as members, but we want to see more people come into the church. If it's the other way around, then it becomes an institution, and that's religion. And that's what we don't want to be. Yeah? The church is there for us. This verse has popped up a few times as well, and I've already partially quoted it. And it's in Micah, and it says, "He has shown you, O mortal man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." It's quite a simple verse, isn't it? But actually, when you start thinking about it, yeah, okay. I remember saying before, the trick is knowing how we walk humbly before God. And that is the key. We know what's justice. This tells us what justice is. We can understand that. We can learn to love mercy. We can teach ourselves that, can we? But do we have the discipline to walk humbly before our God? So last time we met together, Steve Perkins, wherever he is, somewhere at the back, he put up on the screen three attributes that we as eldership, as a church, think of key in this whole process. Can we remember what they were? Come on, I love you to be involved in when I'm doing this because I'm nervous and it helps me lower my nerves. Can you remember? Prayer, worship, and the word. Perfect. Well done. We're good. What a great church we are. So Stephen, what did Stephen speak on? Prayer. Okay. Last year, we had quite a few services where we really focused in on worship. So guess what I'm speaking on this morning? The word. Hallelujah. So I want to speak about the importance of the word and really how does the word help us to walk the walk? How does it help us to draw down those tools, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We need to abide has been a constant theme, hasn't it? We need to be in a place where we can hear God, we can listen to God, and we can understand his will. We need to be able to recognize the difference between good intentions, what's in the soul, and what's actually there because God's asked us to do it. The difference between soul and spirit. We need to have the wisdom and the clarity of mind that we can fulfill that, but we also need a bit of determination. We need to be committed, don't we? We need to do it. So I've sort of, actually, I'm going to do what I did a few weeks, months ago with our life group. So if you're in our life groups, you'll know what's coming. I spoke about a few of the really compelling attributes that the Bible talks about, the Word. So I'm going to pick those out in a minute, and we'll go through them, of just the ones that I picked out. And I know that there are more, but these are the ones that I just felt that we would do this morning. So Dan, can you put the first one up, please? This is me getting IT literate. It's a clear screen, look at that. First one is... All right. The memory stick I gave Dan was wood. But I thought it was only wood on the inside. Maybe it's wooden on the outside. Maybe it's wooden on the inside as well. So the first one, 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. So, the Word has always been there. It's faithful. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Jesus is the Word of God. We need to listen to him. We're still not getting there, are we? Don't worry about it. It's fine. You guys will have to make notes instead, won't you? So the first one is the Word has always been there. It was there in the beginning, and the Word of God was with God, and the Word of what God... Hey! No! Okay. You're getting two for the price of one now. So there's the first one. Yeah? The Word of God was there. It's always been there. We need to read it, know it, and listen to him. Now, the next one that's up, you get three for the price of one on that one. For the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and to the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So first thing, it's living and it's powerful. When we read the Word of God, we need to read it and ask the Holy Spirit to operate through it. We need to be able to read it with an open mind to what God wants us to understand. And we will be amazed at how God, through his Spirit, will teach us and bring his Word to life. It is a living Word, and it's a powerful Word. We've had testimony this morning that when we follow the Word, things happen. We have to understand things happen. Phones ring, you know, these things go. God, by his Holy Spirit, will reveal the truth as we read his Word. A few of you remember Martin Wyatt that came to know the Lord just before he passed away with cancer. And he said to me once, you know, I read his Word and I feel like his Word is reading me the more than I'm reading it. And isn't that true? You know, he really grasped it. He understood it. It's living and active. It's up to date. I don't care what the current popular culture is at the minute. God's Word is living and active. And it's up to date. You know, it's not an old, dusty old book that has no relevance. It has absolute relevance. It doesn't change. It was there in the beginning. It will be there at the end. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. If we use God's Word, if we speak, if we ask the Holy Spirit to just enlighten his Word to us very quickly, we will know where our thoughts are in line with his Word, what the intent of our heart is. We need to trust and obey him. We need to be able to rely on God's Word with absolute surety. I think the other thing that we need to be aware of, or we need to be sure of, that relates to what we've said this morning, that God is a God of his Word. So if he said something, it says in Isaiah, that if his word goes out, it does not come back void. when his word goes out, it achieves what it is that it was sent to accomplish. Yeah? And that is absolute. We know we can be sure of that. Absolutely sure. It doesn't return void. It doesn't come back not having done what God said he would do. He is a man of his word. Next one. There we go. Ephesians 5. It says, to make her holy, and her being the church, cleanse her by washing with water through the word. So there's a washing, there's a cleansing process when we read the word. God's word will make us clean. It will cleanse us from unrighteousness. Saturate yourself in the word of God and experience the cleansing power of the word of God. It will change you. We live in a world with different standards, and there are times when we can't help the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We work in a world, most of us anyway, in a world that is very secular. And if we're not careful, those values of the world will rub off on us, won't they? We need to go back to the word. Saturate yourself in the word. Be cleansed. And just understand that God's word will cleanse you. And people that have been Daniel, that were really right in the heart of what we would say was an occult society. You know, Daniel, chief of magicians, he was appointed. You know, how would we feel about that? You know, we've got all these people around us. Moses going in, you know, there he was, being brought up in the house of Pharaoh. And his magicians could replicate what God did through Moses. Through the occult. And yet those guys stood firm to the word of God. Those guys did not allow any of that to influence the way they thought. I don't think the society that we live in is quite that bad, but it isn't far off. You know, we need to come back to God. We need to come back and understand the washing, the cleansing of his word in our lives. Next one. Sword of the Spirit. You'll know most of these. It's the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We mustn't forget that we live a life that's for him. And Paul says that we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and power. We live in a world that's spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle, and we fight with spiritual weapons. We need to be effective. The Bible tells us that we can become more than overcomers, can't we? We don't need to be pushed down by the world and by the enemy and by his standards. We can be more than overcomers. Jesus is a great example of that, isn't he? He was baptized, went out into the wilderness, and what happens? Tempted. How did he counter the temptations that the devil threw at him? By quoting the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. In Joshua, this is another word that we've had as a church. It says, be strong and be of good courage. We need to be strong and of good courage. And our strength and our courage is placed in his word because we have the sword of the Spirit. Next one. We've sung this one this morning. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Gives us direction, helps us. Isaiah says, in your ears, you shall hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When we're on a journey, what do we need to know if we're going on a journey? Direction, how do we know direction? We need to know where we're going. To fix our direction, don't we? What else do we need to know? A map would help, but in order to use a map, we need to know where we're going and something else. Where we are now. Yeah? So we got those 2 points. And then a map will help us get there. Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. Paul talks about running a race. Well, if you're running a race, you run with determination, don't you? You run and you don't allow the things either side of you to distract you because you want to win. Well, I guess that's why you run a race. Otherwise, it's not really a race, is it? Because you want to be the first over the line. So you push aside the things that might distract. Can we run the race without determination? Not really. If we want to achieve something worthwhile, then we mustn't allow ourselves to be distracted. Anything of value has a cost. The higher the cost, the more value. Where do we sort of place our walk with the Lord in all of that, you know? What cost are we prepared to pay in order to achieve our goal, in order to achieve the final destination? Some people put everything aside. And we can all come up with examples of people like that, can't we? You think of people like Jackie Pullinger, that, you know, chasing the dragon out in Hong Kong and helping the drug addicts. We can think of Brother Andrew, the vicar of Baghdad, you know, out there helping the people out there. There's lots of examples where we can think of these amazing people that have set things aside and gone out and followed because they felt that the word of the Lord to them was to go and do this. We might not be called to do such a dramatic thing. The Lord may call us to do something in comparison a lot less. Nonetheless, are we prepared to do it? Or are we going to be like the Syrian general who said, I'm not going to get in that Jordan, it's messy, why can't I go in my own river? You know, that's beneath me. I want something more than that. You know, God is a God that expects, and he will give us something, and when we prove ourselves to be faithful in a little, then he'll give us more. Do we need to know exactly where we're going? We know our final destination, I don't mean that. We know that we're going to end up in heaven. But do we need to know the detail of the day-to-day walk? So when we're following a map, actually I know that if I'm going to go home, I need to go out of here, and I need to go up Mason's Lane, and I need to go around there. Or do we trust God? Because God might actually say, no, I don't want you to go up Mason's Lane, I want you to go Silver Street. We need to trust him. And I just use that as an example, but you know what I mean. We need to trust him in the day-to-day walk. We're not going alone. We're going with God with us. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And he won't necessarily reveal the whole of the step, the whole map, in one hit. Because quite literally, that'll put the fear of God in us if we know exactly what's going to happen each single step. Yeah? He'll allow us to know what we can cope with and what we can deal with. That being the case, what do we need to do? Something else that we've been reminded of over this last 6 months. We need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. We need to abide in him. We need to spend time with him. That will give us clear sight. We need to be determined. What we don't need to be is double-minded. Oh, yeah, well, I'll do that because that's what the Bible says. But you know what it is. It never happens for me. No, God said, he's a man of his word, it will happen for you. That's where we need to be. So it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. On Wednesday last week at prayer, we were told to be beacons and light. So not only is it a light to our path and a lamp to our feet, but we need to share that to those that don't know. It's a real privilege, a personal privilege that God has given us that we can follow his ways, but it's a personal privilege that must be shared. It's not something that we keep jealously to ourselves. It's something that must be shared. Next one. Deuteronomy 30. Every word of God is... No, sorry. But the word of God is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Are we ready to do it? It's the first question that provokes in my mind. It's available. It's in your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. You know, John 1, the very first one that we read, is that the word of God is Jesus. The word of God is there. The word of God is in our heart. He dwells within us by his spirit, doesn't he? Each one of us has the word within us. So do we allow the word of God to do its work? Because what that should result in is rivers of living water flowing. Another thing that we've had, that the rivers of living water must flow. What it also says to me is that we don't need to worry about what we say. It's what Scripture tells us. You know, you're going to be put up against, up in front of people, and you're going to be expected to give an account of what you believe. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Word of God is within you. If you allow the Holy Spirit to speak, you'll speak God's words. The psalmist puts it like this: open your mouth and I'll fill it. I mean, it's great. Open your mouth and I'll fill it. And that's the Holy Spirit will fill it. I think the problem is too much we think about what we're going to say and what we're going to do, and then it becomes more of me and less of God. Sometimes we're much better to say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going into a situation this morning where I've got to give an account of what I believe. I believe your word. I believe you're a man of your word, a God of your word. And you've said this, I'm trusting you. And then we know what comes out of our heart is what's going to hit the spot. Yeah? Next one.
Proverbs.
Every word of God is pure. He's also, it's what goes on to say, is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Isn't that lovely? The word of God is pure. There is nothing but truth in the word of God. There is nothing there that's not pure. That's remarkable. Only sovereign God can boast that, that everything he says is pure. If we put our trust in him, he will be our shield. And that's been part of the theme, that we must abide in him. We can't pick up the word of God when it suits and put it down when we think we can do it ourselves. We've got to be consistent. We've got to immerse ourselves in his word. If we think that we can pick it up and put it down and do our own thing, what we're actually saying is, God, I want you to dance to my tune. I'm not prepared to do it your way. I want you to do it my way. That's called pride. God doesn't like pride. Psalm 100, protection. You read John 15, and the number of times it says, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me. We have to abide in him. But when we abide in him, we understand that the more we abide, the more we realize his word is pure. And it's a shield to those who put their trust in him. And then the last one on here, 2 Timothy. Yeah, all scripture, all the word of God is inspired by God. Everything that's written is inspired by God. There's nothing in the word that's not there, that's there by accident. Everything there is inspired by God. And it's useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. Steve, last time he spoke, was talking about righteousness. Gives us instruction to be righteous, right living. That's our owner's manual, isn't it? That's the book that we use to understand what God's will is. And if we don't know it, then we're not going to pick up the truth and the word that God has for us. Everything there is the word of God. Everything there is inspired by him. And there are some amazing promises there. There's some amazing things in there that when we start to understand what God said, what he's got for us, we just want to read more. We want to read more. And then when we understand that he's a God of his word, that if we follow his word, he'll do it. It's amazing, isn't it? I remember my mum saying to me when I was younger that when she was young, people used to say the Bible can't be true because it talks about the earth melting with a fervent heat. And before the atom bomb, this was. And they said it's impossible. There's not enough energy on this earth to melt it. And then they invented the atom bomb. And then suddenly they have to understand that perhaps there is enough heat or energy in this world to melt the earth. And you can go through the word and you can see things where our popular culture say, well, that can't be true because of this. And then we find out something else or we will learn something different. And, oh, actually, yeah, Bible squares with that. You know, God is outside time. God knows. We do well to trust him and to understand his word. And as we seek first his kingdom, and if we enjoy the privilege of being part of his kingdom, we will find contentment. We'll find fulfillment. You know, that's what God will give us as individuals. We'll have a peace that surpasses all understanding, but we just need to get things in the right order. And the more we understand, the more we spend time with him, the more we'll learn the sound of his voice and the unique way that he will speak to us as individuals. And we'll be able to draw that down and we'll be able to understand, oh, that's God telling me that. But if we dip in and out, we won't learn. We won't understand, and then we will get confused and, hang on a minute, is that just me or is that God? Is that soul? Is that spirit? You know, we need to spend time. We need to be able to really drill down into the word. And then we will notice how we're being built together as a church. So our primary role is individuals. That's my role, my responsibility. But as we start to do that, and as we start to do it the way that God would want us to do it, we will notice then that as a church, we're being built as living stones. Yeah? Being drawn together, a holy temple. It says in Ephesians, now therefore there is no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. We're members of the household of God. Isn't that lovely? Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a wonderful family God's put us in. We can boast that we're a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're experiencing this morning, isn't it? That's that. We just know that God's presence is here. We just know that, you know, God is speaking to us. We've had that for 6 months. We've had it for 6 years. We've had that since the start of the church because we know that God is a faithful God. He promises that, you know, when two or three meet together in my name, there I am. He's a God of his word. He will be there. So how about that? A dwelling place for Almighty God. I've already said he's sovereign. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, name above all names. I don't care what name you can do, what authority you can quote, he's higher. And yet he's here with us. We are a dwelling place for Almighty God. He doesn't live in a dusty old building, we know that. He lives in us. The question then, I suppose, is will we live in a way that will allow those living waters to flow, isn't it? We have responsibilities to use what God has given us for the greater good of his kingdom, that kingdom that we represent. God has given us his word. He's a God of his word. He will ensure what he has promised will happen. But in order for us to take him at his word, we need to know what his word is, don't we? Yeah? So hopefully, that's given you a little bit of a, yeah, okay, Lord, I want to get more into your word. Hopefully, we understand that he is a God of his word, and if I know what God's promises are, then I can draw them down, and I can, when I'm praying, when I'm worshiping, as we've done this morning, you know, we quote God's word, we worship around God's word, we pray, and we pray God's word, and we know that when we do that, when we invoke his word, oh, I can't see any nodules on your throat, I must have missed them, they're not there anymore, they're gone, praise God. He's a good God. He's a God of his word. Thank you.
Wow, that's a lot to take in this morning, isn't it? hope you were making notes and all the stuff we had before. But the one thing remains that the golden thread through this is Jesus. And that's who we acknowledged this morning, that's who we love, and that's who we take out of this place into the world. And if you're struggling to remember all of the stuff that's come this morning, and it's all been in Scripture, in the book, in the Word of God, then take away one thing. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great King will come in, Who is this great king? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord victorious in battle. So we began with opening gates into new pastures, into new beautiful fields, that the experiences that God wants you to have. Whether that be understanding more about the Word of God, acknowledging who Jesus is as your Lord and Savior, and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and fill you and make a big difference in your daily walk. So fling wide the gates and allow God to come into your life in a new and fresh way. Move into new pastures. Allow the whispering Holy Spirit to come into your life in a new way this week. So it'd be good now to spend some time having some more fellowship and coffee and biscuits. No promotions of biscuits this week, but so sorry about that. Oh, apparently there's chocolate ginger ones out now, so so go for it. But anyway, good to see you all, and see you all again soon. Thank you.